And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Amen. Happy New Year, Grace. Today, we as a church begin again a new year together. Today, we enter into Advent, the first season of our liturgical year as a religious people. It's not the new year for everyone, but it is for us. And in this new year, we begin at the end. We begin with Jesus telling a story about how the end times will be. The sun will be darkened, the moon dim, the stars will fall from heaven. Heaven and all earth, Jesus says, will pass away. Thus, beware, Jesus says, keep alert, keep watch. We do not know the day or the hour. Therefore, Jesus says, stay awake. Advent is a season of anticipation and preparation for us as Christians to follow Jesus anew. And so Jesus tells us a story, not entirely comforting, really. This is not a bedtime story meant to put us to sleep, but rather a story that is meant to inspire us to be prepared. Jesus tells us a story to startle us awake. For a moment, I want to invite you to remember the last time you were startled awake. Maybe by an alarm or a friend in need in the middle of the night. Maybe a loud noise or a dream. Whatever it was, take a moment to remember what it felt like in your body to be startled awake. My first job out of undergrad was with a nonprofit organization working with victims of crime. I made $16,000 a year at that job. One of my responsibilities was to work the crisis line 24/7, 7 days in a row, and then I would have 7 days off. I recall the first night that I was answering the crisis line, I barely slept. But when I did drift off, I can recall the feeling of being startled awake by the sound of the phone ringing. I remember the feeling in my body, my heart racing, my eyes trying to open, quick breaths as I tried to center my thoughts before answering the call. The call, which could be anything from a person in crisis who just needed to talk to someone who cared, to a call to get to the ER for a victim, to those calls that were much more serious, immediate needs, sometimes life or death calls. So I never knew the time or the hour or the need. And I had to rest, but also I had to stay awake, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually awake. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. I've been thinking about that feeling and that work lately. I've been thinking about what prepared me, what prepared all of us there for that work, and what sustained us in it. I've been thinking about where we found hope while being required to stay awake. And in my curious pondering, here is what I have come to realize. We sustained hope in that state of wakefulness because we were clear what our mission was. We shared the load and we were supportive of each other when things got hard. We were deeply connected to each other and we loved each other. We were clear about what our gifts were, and we shared them freely, and we received the gifts of others. None of us tried to do the work alone. We took breaks from the work to be joyful together and to celebrate the successes. And finally, the work was never, ever really about us. The work was about those that were suffering from violence, and we all felt called to serve them. The work was about our mission together. Jesus, in the story we have today during our season of preparation, says that the master left and gave the servants their work and their commandments. So he says to them, be aware, be watchful, stay awake. Again, not entirely comforting words, this story that Jesus tells his disciples. And so I'm curious, why do you think Jesus told them this story at this time in their lives as disciples? I believe that Jesus told them this story because he loved them so much. He didn't tell them this story to make them anxious or to scare them or to make them sad. He said, keep awake, because Jesus loved them so much, he wanted for them to live a life awake to the work, awake to their unique calling, awake to God abiding within them. And so, 2,000 years later, we read the scripture and hear the same call to keep awake because we are so loved as well. As Richard Rohr says, the hope is that the gospel frees us to live inside of a life that is larger than the one our small selves have imagined, to live the larger life of the body of Christ that cannot be taken from us. The gospel life is the very life of God, which cannot be destroyed. Advent is our season to prepare to do the work the gospel calls us to do, to live that kind of gospel life. And yet, I am curious on this first day of Advent, are we as a church, not just Grace Church, but the church, are we clear about what our gospel work is together? I will be very transparent with you all. There are times that I have no idea what we are doing here. Like, church. There are times when I lack clarity about why we gather together every Sunday, why we come to this table to be fed, why we say these prayers. Sometimes I wonder if the master returned at this hour, would the master find us asleep? The way I see it, Jesus made it very clear what our gospel work is. Just last week, we heard, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take care of the babies. You're doing God's work, sister. Visit the sick and the prisoner. The gospel says we have one commandment that is above all others. Love God by loving your neighbor as yourself. This seems clear, and yet sometimes it feels like we are all here on Sundays with different missions. And sometimes this causes me as a leader in the church to feel confused. Confused about my mission. And when part of me is confused, I can begin to feel very sleepy. I think that's normal in the face of confusion, to just shut down, get distracted, or go to sleep. But what I have experienced in my work in this world is that when we are clear about our mission, that clarity leads to sharp vision and courageous action. Our mission statement at that nonprofit I worked for as a young social worker was to end violence. That was it. To end violence. Now, come on. Do you really think any of us thought we would end violence in East Tennessee? No. We didn't think we would. But we had hope that if we lived a life grounded in that mission, the generations to come would be closer to that goal than we were. And that hope kept us awake to the work. It gave us sharp vision and led us into courageous action together. Everything we did in all of our programs pointed back to that grand mission to end violence. When we did community education, it was to teach people to end violence. When we did charity or direct service, it was to help people heal and thus stop the cycle of violence. When we did public policy work, it was to change the system that could impact a culture of violence to end violence. That mission gave us great hope in the long nights. It gave us energy when we felt defeated. It made us brave when we felt weak. It sustained us, and that hope kept us awake. Jesus says, "What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." Grace, this Advent season and this new year to come, I think we as a church need to get crystal clear about our mission together so that everything we do keeps us awake to that mission. And we need a clear mission if we want others to join us in the work. Look, it is no surprise that the church as an institution is a dimming moon in this world, its light waning in the dark night of modern days. It is true, fewer and fewer people are joining churches, or at least mainstream churches. And look, as a priest, I could get up here and say anything. I could tell you funny stories that make you feel good for a minute, but it also may put you to sleep like a cozy blanket or a bedtime story. But the truth is, I love you too much to do that, to tell you stories that put you to sleep. I love you so much that my hope, my mission, is to try and share with you what I hear in the gospel that wakes me up, and to bring it to you in a way that will wake you up too. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. And if we are to stay awake, if we are to be prepared to live a gospel life in this world, we are going to need the hope that comes from a clear and shared mission. Even if that mission seems crazy, like ending violence. Even if we know we will never meet that mission in our lifetime, we need the hope that comes from the clarity of a gospel life and the hope that living that life will move the next generation a bit closer to the world God envisions for us all. So, Grace, as a church, why are we here? Really, what is our mission as we seek nourishment and inspiration, and what hope sustains us in it? As we begin this new year, let's start at the end. When we are all gone from this place, what do we hope we will have accomplished together? And friends, if you find yourself confused about our mission, if you find that you are distracted, shutting down, or falling asleep, light a candle of hope. Build a fire that the community can gather around in the waning moon. Feed each other a meal. Sing hymns of your ancestors. Tell stories that inspire you and others that startle us awake. And listen to the words of Jesus to his call to us to live a gospel life. Those words are clear and eternal because while the heavens and the earth will pass away, Jesus says the word of God will not pass away. And on this first Sunday of Advent, maybe that's what we are all doing here. Maybe we gather together on the first day of our new year to be startled awake. Maybe we gather to begin again in the season of preparation, anticipating the birth of Jesus with new clarity, with renewed mission, and with it, renewed hope. Renewed hope in living a gospel life so much bigger than one we could ever imagine alone. Amen.